Reverend Dr. Chris Tunde Joda and Christ Chapel International Churches, CCIC, invite you to Camp Meeting 2018, theme, The Covenant Keeping God, starting from Tuesday, October 23rd to Saturday, October 27th, 9 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. daily, and 9 a.m. on Sunday, October 28, 2018. The Covenant Keeping God will feature Bishop Francis Wale Oke, Pastor Solomon Adebara, Pastor Poju Oyemade, Pastor Celia Apegi Collins, and Reverend Tokunbo Adejunwo, among other anointed men and women of God. Also ministering are Midnight Crew, CCIC Levite, and Christine Joda. Camp Meeting 2018 holds at the CCIC International Headquarters, 15 Akimateola Street off Raji Rasaki Road, Amu Ward of Phase 2, Lagos. Come and experience the covenant keeping God at CCIC Camp Meeting 2018. Jesus is Lord.
Oh, yeah, a round of applause for the Lord. A round of applause for him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, you may be all be seated. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit in this place. I ask by the power of the same Spirit you grant utterance, that your word will go forth in simplicity, but in accuracy and power, that our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus, and will hear a word behind us saying, "This is the way to go. Walk ye in it." In Jesus' name, amen. All right. May all be seated. First of all, let me thank Pastor Tunde and Ebujoda for inviting me. I always say this when I come here. A large portion of what is going on today in this city, in terms of the Word of Faith charismatic movement, was birthed from the spirit of this man. And there's no time that we ask him to come and speak. I don't have to pray to God to check whether I should come. You have to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. All right. This evening I'll be speaking on 6 steps to take when you get into an emergency. 6 things to do. And we'll be gleaning this from the life of Paul. Acts chapter 27. It's where I'll take the text from. Now, the Bible says in verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail, this is Paul saying this, all right, or Luke reporting it, determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. Then the Bible says in verse 6, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy and put us therein. When we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, and the wind was not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over and against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came into a place that was called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lazier. When much time was spent, when the sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage shall be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and the sheep, but also of our own lives." The Bible says, "Nevertheless, this centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lieth to the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they loosed thence and sailed close by. Then not long after that, arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and the ship was now caught in the tempest. So a tempestuous wind blew, and the ship was caught there. Now, so I want to look at six things here in terms of, because what happened, all right, and we'll look at more scriptures as we go on, was that they got themselves into some form of serious crisis here. In verse 15, it says, the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind. We let her drive. And then they started saying about several things that happened. Now, the first thing I want to say about this, concerning when we find ourselves in a situation which we can describe as an emergency, which is something that seemed to suddenly spring up, and we describe this as a crisis situation. Rule number one, we must, as born-again Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost, understand something. No born-again Christian will ever find themselves in any real emergency situation without being warned ahead of time by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Spirit of God will show us things to come. Now, we might not pick up, all right, that which the Holy Ghost was communicating to us. But under no circumstances will a Christian find themselves in any dangerous situation without God in his faithfulness getting the message or attempting to get warning signals to them by the Spirit of God who dwells in them. One of the two reasons is why we don't pick it up. Number one, we don't understand, maybe, when the Holy Ghost is nudging on the inside and creating some discomfort in us concerning any decision that we want to make. Or number two, it is called what Paul called dullness of hearing. In other words, by reason of our lifestyle, we have put ourselves in a place where it is almost impossible to pick up that which the Holy Ghost is saying. But no Christian. If a man gets up and enters into a car as a born-again Christian and there's a serious accident that morning, when he got up and decided he was going to do it, the Holy Spirit tried to warn that person. And that's why many situations you will hear Christians later on saying, and you know, I had this discomfort on the inside. And you know, I just felt uncomfortable about that particular thing. So first of all, I want to talk about discerning the voice, all right, of the Spirit of God. We must put ourselves in a position where we will be able to pick up on this thing. Jesus said this as a law. He said, before the rain falls, or you have the shower, he said, you can see the gathering of the clouds as a law of God. That is, first the natural, then the spiritual. You see the clouds gather, and then the rain falls. He said, the south wind blows, then you know there is heat. He said, if you can discern the face of the sky, then how come you can't discern this time? In other words, before anything happens in natural, God gives a signal. That's what he's saying. That if we look at him, before anything happens, he always wants us. Now, in the realm of the natural, we can see these things before they happen. In the spirit realm also, he says there's an equivalent. You can see these things. But then he talked about the fact that if the day comes upon you unawares, in Luke chapter 21 there, he said it's because, all right, of either surfeiting, right, or drunkenness, all right, or what he called the cares of this life. In other words, what we are just doing, and most times in our Christian walk, our only form of prayer is communicating our own personal cares and our own personal needs to God. In order to become sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, we need to spend time praying in tongues, not even asking God about anything. Just spending time there, worshiping, ministering unto the Lord. This is how we develop our spirit and start getting sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Spend time just praying in tongues, all right? Building up ourselves on our most holy faith and defining ourselves in the spirit there. Praying in tongues, communicating with God. These attributes are in God. And as we fellowship with him, our soul also begins to pick up on these divine qualities and these attributes, the ability to recognize things. So Paul, all right, first of all said this, I perceive. And we must understand that divine protection is directly connected to being led by the Spirit. God primarily protects us by guiding us, not by just a strong exercise of power. In other words, when he was going to protect Jesus, his only begotten son, when he brought him into the world, and he knew that Herod had hatched a plan in his mind to kill everybody, that was every child that was below two. God didn't say to Joseph, don't worry, he's my only son here, begotten son. I am God. I will put angels all around him, flaming swords. Let Herod and his people come. They will know that I'm powerful. God, in order to protect Jesus, went to Herod and said, take this boy out of this place. Go to a particular place and stay there. And when Herod is no longer around, then I will bring you back to this place. The Bible says that the wise and righteous man will foresee evil and hide himself. So the way in which God protects us is that the Lord is my shepherd. He protects us with his voice. Our shepherd, which means protects the sheep by guiding them. That they hear his voice. He warns them about things. He calls them, all right? And many times we think about God protecting us, all right, that we can ignore the leading of the Holy Ghost, but by just the sheer exercise of the power of God, you know, that God will just come, you know, and protect us. So Paul told them, he said, I perceive that two things will happen. One, he said, we might lose our lives here. Two, if we do this, he said, the sheep also and everything materially will be lost. But the Bible says three things the centurion, all right, the master of sheep, made his decision on three things. And because of these three things, many a times we override the nudgings of the Spirit on the inside. In other words, the Holy Ghost begins to nudge you and tells you, and you are uncomfortable about something. You just have this feeling on the inside, all right? And you lose your peace concerning that particular thing. Or you are interacting with somebody that might not be good for your future, and the Holy Ghost withdraws his peace from that particular thing, and you get uncomfortable on the inside. But three things happen there. Number one, The Bible tells us that the owner of the sheep, it tells us this, all right, verse 11, nevertheless the centurion believed the master and the owner of the sheep more than those things that were spoken by Paul. So immediately Paul spoke, the owner of the sheep, the man with wealth, the man who had the largest material investment in that place, said it to the centurion that let us go. And sometimes, right, when we feel, particularly in a business decision, when we feel, and people who are wealthy or the direction in which the money is going can override the nudgings of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Even though the Holy Ghost in that small still voice is telling you that something is wrong with this thing, you look at the material benefits there. He tells you something is wrong with this person. Something is not right. But the material benefits that might come from that association, you persist in that particular thing, even though the Holy Ghost has withdrawn his peace from your heart. Second thing that happened, the Bible went on in verse 12, or verse 11. It says, and because the heaven was not commodious to winter in, the more part, which means most people, advised to depart. Second thing, the fact that more people are inclined to something doesn't mean it's right. God's kingdom is not a democracy. All right? If you pick up something in your heart that is wrong, the fact that most people around you are doing it doesn't mean that that particular thing is right. And the reason why those people were saying, let us go, was because it wasn't, the Bible says, convenient to be in that particular location in winter. So they looked at their personal convenience. All right? And many times we make decisions on how convenient it is for us in our flesh. We look at it and say that even if God is asking us, for example, two jobs are placed before you. One, you have to get up in the morning very early and you think about it. There will be traffic, you know, and it might take me some time. Another job, they just say, is nearby. And then you look at what is convenient and then you tell people, and most people say, look, this is the most convenient. Why go through all that trouble? And you make the decision based on convenience and not the nudgings of the Holy Ghost. So the second reason, what can play again in our hearts that we override that voice, is convenience. The third was that the next thing that happened, Satan played his three cards immediately. The Bible says in verse 13, and when the soft wind blew, when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, so they looked on the outside, and everything momentarily began to work on the outside like that objective, that purpose was going to be realized. So three things. All right? When you start picking up things in your heart, don't listen to the voice of money. All right? A lot of people, that what happened to Balaam, it was where the money was that he began to tilt in that particular direction. Number two, the fact that most people are saying something based on how convenient it seems doesn't mean you should follow and go with that. Third thing is, on the outside, you are not looking for signs on the outside to see whether it is favorable to do that. You are checking on the inside of yourself. Because the more you want to go in one particular direction and you want to accept the thought, the heavier the weight will be on your spirit. The Holy Ghost begins to know deep down, something don't do this, the heavier it will be. You'll get to sleep and you wake up, and for no reason, there's just a load in your heart. Right? You just wake up and you are just heavy. Jesus said, I am sorrowful, I am heavy, nigh unto death. He picked it up before that time and told James, said, look, let's go and pray about this thing. So what you should do is start praying about that particular thing, what you have picked up inside your heart, all right, and begin to pray and pray about that. And many times when things now change, because the nature of the wind changed and then the crisis came, all right, people now say, all right, where was God and all of that? But the truth is, God warned that person or wants us inside our heart, wants us within our heart. Do not go with this particular thing. There is nothing that has ever happened in the public space to me as a person that on the outside looked like this thing, all right, was wrong, that I had not initially had an inclination. In other words, that on the inside, I was no longer comfortable with that particular thing. But I simply went ahead and did it because, all right, of probably pressure in the natural world. So we must be able to understand that we follow the Holy Ghost within our hearts, all right, because we do not know in the natural, all right, the way things will change. The Holy Spirit is the one that knows how things will change on the outside. I listened to a woman once who was a stunt. She used to do stunts in films. And on this particular time, she got burnt and she was on the bed. And people came to meet her and she was a Christian. And asked her that, you know, God. And she said, look, forget about it. She said months before, I had this nudging inside my heart to get out of this industry. I just knew on the inside, time was up. And every time I decided and I told my husband, I'm no longer doing this, I will get an offer to come and do a movie, $10,000, 5-star hotel, first class, and then I will go. And I'll tell myself this is the last one. It will keep coming that way. Said on this day, finally what happened? She was supposed to drive through flames. And they showed her that they were going to use some dummy bombs. They weren't real ones and all of that. So she went through and practiced twice. And on the last time when they knew she had perfected it, the director of film said, she's got it right. She knows how to do it. Change it into real explosives. And what happened was she went, and it was at that point she made the mistake. The thing caught on fire and burnt her. So when people came, she said, look, God was faithful. I was disobedient. So very important that we listen, that you understand that when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, when he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is guiding you. He is leading you. He is not exercising power on the outside. He's exercising power inside your heart to direct you. And don't override that on the inside. Now, if we have overridden that, or we find ourselves in any real now crisis situation, because some people say, well, all right, that's why they always signal. Some say, well, the door suddenly sacked me from my job. It wasn't sudden. They had been processing it for a while. And the minute the people started thinking about it, listen, Abel was not sensitive to Cain. If he was sensitive, he wouldn't have followed Cain to the field. How do we know? God looked at Cain and said, why is your countenance falling? In other words, the minute Abel was blessed and Cain saw it, his countenance fell. If Abel was sensitive to it, Abel would have picked it up that the countenance of my brother has changed. And he will have hid himself from his brother. Alright? So, it's important. So, when somebody's at work, the countenance of the people, in fact, Jacob said it. He said, Laban, he told his wife, said, your father's countenance towards me changed. In other words, once they say, we're going to lay you off, the countenance of God, they no longer look at you in the eye. You come into the office and they're looking down and talking to you. You know that something is going on here. That's when God is telling you, take this thing into prayer, so that you have overcome everything in the realm of the spirit, before. So as Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. In other words, if you do this, then you'll be able to obey me, walk in love, walk in forgiveness, do all of that, and enter into the next phase quickly. If you don't do that, then you now go into the natural world. And start getting angry, start getting bitter. People come and meet you, what they do. You say somebody lied and all of that. And you get into that carnal warfare until it might take months before you bring yourself out of it. So pick up on things. Pray those things. We're not saying they will not, all right, happen, all right? But when you are prepared, God has taught you, you know exactly what you're supposed to do, all right? And then you move through that particular thing. So what now happened was that they walked directly into the storm because they didn't listen to what Paul said. And in verse 15, the Bible says, then the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, so we let her drive. So they lost control. And in times of crisis, what disturbs people the most is that they have lost, all right, complete control of things. Now, the end of this, and God is so powerful and wise, that the end of this matter was that a whole island got saved. Everybody got healed. If they had not gotten into the crisis, they wouldn't have landed there. If there was no shipwreck, they wouldn't have gotten to that island. In other words, even our mistakes, God uses it to bring about our destiny. Are you following me? I was studying once on the difference between love and mercy. And they said mercy has to do with the forgiveness of sin. Had man never sinned, the attribute of mercy will have been hidden from humanity, even though it was in God. In other words, will have interacted with God and won't have known that he had that kind of disposition. And they said, what mercy does, and this is powerful, I mean, I think I've said this here before, that, you know, if this is how God works. If you decide to go somewhere and you want to use the GPRS system, you point, put your destination in. Well, I'm going here to Abeokuta, you put it in, and you are here and I say, go. So the voice begins to talk to you. It tells you, drive for 1 mile, and then take second turn on the right. When you do that, drive for 3 minutes, and then go to the left. Now, if you are doing that, God told me once. He said, have you ever heard that when the voice tells you, go for 3 minutes and take the second left, and you make a mistake, and you miss that the voice says to you, yeah, ah, Yepa, what have you done here? Ah, he said that voice doesn't say that. It goes silent, recalibrates your error into your destination, and the next instruction is take the second turning on the right. Sometimes you get there faster than if you went the original way. That's why if you find yourself in it, all right, and the way the message is described, is this, right? In real life now, okay? Now, what mercy is this way. Best illustration I got. A man once had an handkerchief and oil and some ink poured on it. So he took it and tried to wash the ink off. And the ink was stained. The handkerchief was stained. Some people have made mistakes. That is before them. All right? You just can't. If somebody says, I've had a divorce, I had a child out of wedlock, the child is there. You can't say that the blood doesn't remove the child. The child is what? Is there. Staring in their face. So what does mercy do? Then there was a painter. He was about to throw the handkerchief away. And there was a painter right beside him. He said, what's the matter? He said, this handkerchief is stained. Worthless now. It was expensive. The painter said, give it to me. He went and took that blood and used it as the fulcrum for the design he was going to make on the handkerchief and put some artistry work that what was about to be thrown away became great treasure. When the mercy of God enters your life, The very thing that should have disqualified you is the very thing that the mercy of God turns around and becomes the point of attraction in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Think about it. You look at the mistake of David. And when the mercy of God went in there, out of that place came Solomon. Are you following what I'm saying? So mercy is not just something like a feeling or just something we believe. It's a tangible thing that goes into our lives and changes, which means takes ashes and makes it beautiful. Take something, that a woman will say, well, you know, I had a child out of wedlock and I don't know whether anybody will marry me. The guy that marries her because he loves that child. In fact, it's because he wants to be a father to that child. That's the attractive force and the biggest thing. So mercy is a real thing. It's not just something that is theoretical. It goes into our lives and changes the shape of it. So if a man has disobeyed the voice there, now, of course, there will be pain and all of that. But the mercy of God comes in and works. So let's see what Paul did here. So the scripture telling us this, that it tells us that in verse 16, and running under a certain island which was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they are taken up, they used helps on the guiding the ship, fearing lest we should fall into quicksand. Straight sail were so driven, and being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out our hands, or at the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, they reported it, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not to have lost from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Now, what happened was they started throwing things out of the boat. And what happens many times is people get into some crisis and begin to use natural methods. Lighten the ship. Throw this. Guess what starts? Somebody comes up to you. All right? My uncle can help you. You go with that. He says, my uncle very close to me. You follow him to the office. The uncle comes out of the office, walks past him like he doesn't know him. You say, but you said he's very close to me. You find out that you are chasing shadows. All right? And you haven't gotten to the real substance. Now, so we do many things. But Paul said, here is the right thing to do. Paul withdrew from all of the natural activities to try to resolve the problem. And the Bible says, after long abstinence, Paul emerged and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. You did not. However, something has happened. The angel of the Lord stood by me this night and said unto me, now not what Paul said unto me, I must see Caesar. Hear this. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul knew the scriptures. Paul did not come out and say, Psalm 91, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He didn't say that. Paul said, I will not die here because God said I must see Caesar first. In other words, Paul heard something directly from God concerning his life in that situation. Now, what am I saying? Many times when we're confronted with things, we just start quoting scriptures and throwing scriptures without doing what Paul did. What you do is that all hope was gone. Paul withdrew himself. Now, what is the order? The order is, the first thing you do is you go to the Word of God. And you begin to read the word of God in order to get hope from the scriptures. David said in Psalm 119 and verse 49, "Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." In other words, when there is no hope on the outside, we go back to the promise of God and to the word of God, and we begin to study the scriptures and to read the word of God. Now, part of the word of God I've seen, all right, by knowledge of scripture and by experience, is that when you are in a difficult situation, Peter said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy. You will do well to take it as a light that shines in a dark place." The prophets said a lot about situations we will go through. Go into the book of the prophets. You will begin to find scriptures there that will talk to you directly about what's confronting you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Go there and start reading through it. You will hear Isaiah say things. You will see it in the Psalms, speaking to you directly about these things. So what you do is that you sit down with the word of God. It's long abstinence. Separate yourself, all right? And then sit down with the word of God. And then read the word of God and study it until the word of God starts reading you. In other words, scriptures start coming out that you start seeing by the Holy Ghost that seem that those scriptures were written exactly for that situation. So light begins to come. But we must understand something as Christians if we are going to walk in power. And this is it. And all sessions I'll be teaching and I'll be going around this area. To walk in power. All right? There is a difference between hope and faith. And many things that we call the confession of faith is actually the confession of our hope. And there's nothing wrong in confessing hope. Hope must be confessed. But it's not confession of faith. What do I mean? Let me explain it this way. If a woman, let's say she's a widow. She's in a hopeless situation. She has 3 children. She has absolutely no money. I mean, somebody wrote me a mail today. It was a hopeless thing. She said she left her husband. He's dying. I said, "I need help." I said, "Why?" She said, "I don't have money. I'm maxed out. My children cannot go to school again. We've done everything." She said, "I will not have done this, but you have to step in and help." It was a hopeless situation. "We need to take injections. All right, he needs 4 injections. Each one costs 5,000 naira, and he must take 4 a day. 20 grand on injection, no food." So, this woman is in a hopeless situation. She sits down and she says, "Who can help me?" And she has maxed out everybody she can help. She's depressed, she goes to a public place. And then somebody there says, she also overheard somebody saying, "You know, I was in trouble. I didn't have any money. She needs 500,000. Let's say she needs 500,000. And then this woman says, "I need 600,000. I know there's this wealthy couple in this town. I just went up to meet them and they gave me 700,000. They told me that I should come back the next day and they'll give me 700,000. And they gave me 700,000 the next day." So suddenly a light bulb comes in her head there. She says, "Wait a minute. Might be a way out." Then she asked the woman to ascertain something. "Did you know this couple?" She says, "No. They have the ability and they are kind. All right? And they will help anybody. I know them." Then another person gets one and says, "Yes, they did the same thing to me. I went to meet them. I needed 1,000,000 naira. Now, this first woman said, "They told me to come the next day." This guy says, "They told me to come in 3 days' time." Now, you hear that. What each one heard is different. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? "In 3 days' time, and I went there, and they gave me 1,000,000. So, suddenly, the light bulb comes and says, "I can get this money from these people. This is a chance." Now, that hope, the Bible says, is an anchor to your soul. Both sure and steadfast, that takes you within the veil. So, that hope now is an anchor. She now begins to head to the house of this couple to meet with them. Now, the reason why she's going is that she's hopeful based on the testimony of this couple she has heard. But when she's going there, they ask her, "Are you going to get this money?" She says, "I'm sure I'm going to get it." But her heart is still beating because she's not certain. She's just what? Hopeful. Then she knocks. And then the couple opened the door. And she enters. And then they say, what's the problem? Said, I need 500,000. I said, well, no problem. And then they tell her in a one-on-one conversation that you come on Tuesday to get this money. And when she hears that, she was going in hopeful with her heart beating. She comes out and says, yes, I have it. Which means she went in with hope. She came out with what? Faith and assurance that she had it. Now, when we get into the scriptures, this is what I want to say. What we find is the testimony of God, which means God testifies of himself to us that is an anchor to our soul. Now, we now go in prayer with the testimony of the scriptures, and when we enter into prayer, God now gives us instructions on how his testimony will happen. In other words, if he says you will break forth on the left and on the right this year, you have that hope. When you carry it to God in prayer, then God tells you, in order to break forth that thing to happen, what you must do this year is go here, start this business, make sure it's this one, do this, then you have the instructions. One was the word that gave you hope. The second is the word that imparts faith. So what are you saying? Look at John chapter 5. Follow me. And this is why a lot of things people talk, all right, and things say, well, this, I know that. Look at John chapter 5 here. Now, and verse 25. Look at this. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming. Now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he has given the Son to have life. In other words, Jesus said, the Father has life, he has given to the Son. How is the Son going to transfer life to you? You will hear his voice, and once you hear his voice, you will live. Then he went down here, and in verse 39, in verse 37, he says, and the Father himself that sent me hath borne witness of me. He was telling the Jews this. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. This is my new scripture. Are you following what I'm saying here? He said, you have never heard his voice. Neither have you seen his shape. But they knew the Bible. He was talking to guys who knew scripture. Then look at what he says here. He says, and you have not his word abiding in him, for whom he has sent you believe not. Search the scriptures. But he says, here is your mistake. You think in them you have eternal life. But what they do is that they testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may have what? Life. So what those women did was to testify of that couple. And then she went to the couple. And then the couple spoke. So you take the testimony of God that says, he that dwelleth in a secret place, 1,000 shall fall on your left, 10,000 shall fall on your right. And you carry it up to God in prayer, in long abstinence there, staying there with God in prayer. You take the scriptures and shut the door and say, God, I am staying here praying and declaring the scriptures until you speak to me. What are you saying concerning this? And then God's voice comes to you and tells you. This is exactly. So when Paul came out, he said, folks, I have to see Caesar. That's no scripture. There's nowhere inside the Bible you'll find you must see Caesar. That's God's voice to him. That cannot be transferred to somebody else. We can transfer the scriptures, but when we transfer the scriptures, you pray what we have transferred in order to hear God yourself. So what people are doing is standing on the written word without hearing the voice behind the scriptures. So the truth is, I can come here and teach the scriptures without ever hearing the voice of God from my own life concerning those things. I can come here and say, well, and the Bible says, and I teach. But it's when I get into prayer that God says, now, this is what you must do. So I look at the scriptures and God says, this year shall be, for example, and Mary gave us the key to it. She, at the beginning of miracle of Jesus, she said this, whatsoever he says unto you, do what? Do it. Say, God, you are my provider. You are correct. You get into the marriage, the feast, the wine finishes. God, you are my provider. It's correct. That is a word of hope. When you press into God with that, and you enter the veil, and it's open in prayer, then you hear the instruction. Fill this pot with water and draw out. When you fill it with water and draw out, you get the result. I can be saying, God is my provider, but I haven't heard his voice telling me what to do for that provision to be manifest. You understand what I'm saying? I heard this, and he said this was Dr. Crevedola. He said, when he was diagnosed with terminal and says cancer, and they told him, it's aggressive. This is how long you have to live. He said, when he went to God and began to declare in prayer, he said, the first thing he heard was change your diet. In other words, instructions began to come. Change what you're eating. Stop eating this. Stop eating that. If he wasn't listening to those instructions and he was just confessing, I'm healed, the healing will not manifest. If I'm just confessing, I'm blessed, and you are not hearing the void telling you what to do to be blessed. That's what Jesus said. He said, you know the scriptures, which means you have eaten from the tree of knowledge, but you haven't eaten from the tree of life. He said, come unto me that you may have what? Life. That is why I tell young people that share scriptures, and sometimes they get rude to older ministers. I tell them, you have knowledge, they have life. You sat down and read books. Listen, the Bible says Daniel understood by books what was written in the book of Jeremiah. You can read books and understand what is in the scripture. But Daniel had to take that to God in prayer and fasting for the angel to come through and said, now, I will give you skill and understanding on how what you know in the scriptures will happen. Daniel started implementing what the angel said. So you can read the book and be quoting the scripture, but you don't have the information. Are you friends here? And that long abstinence was that Paul withdrew himself and stayed there until the angel came through and whispered to him, Paul, let me tell you what's going to happen. He told him the exact island that the ship was going to finally berth on. Gave him exact instructions. Told him that if anybody leaves the ship, they will die. This is not that we're just quoting general thing. He gave him exact instruction that, listen, tell everybody, if anybody comes out of that ship, they are dead. He said, that ship will be destroyed, but I guarantee you, no person will be lost. Now, if he didn't get those instructions and he was trying to save the ship, he will have lost his life too. Are you understand what I'm saying? That's why faith is born out of fellowship. It's not born, you can't just say, well, let's just be saying it. All right? There's no way you can ever operate in faith without hearing God speak to you directly. There's no way. All right? God speaks directly to you. All right? And once a person hears the voice of God and he operates on God's voice, there's no way he will not get results. One day I was praying about something. God told me, someone said, listen. He said, if you ever talk to me about that thing again, it will never happen. You must talk no more to me. All I want from you is thanksgiving concerning it. I can't transfer that to somebody else. And the minute I started doing that, I started seeing the results. So after long abstinence, so what you do is that you take yourself away. Your security is in the voice of God. Hearing, the shepherd speaks directly to the sheep. Tells the sheep exactly where to go. If God wants you here, all right, and you are not there, you can't stand where you want to be and start quoting promises of God. Are you following what I'm saying? If God says, go and live over there, and I choose to live over here, I cannot stay there and now start quoting, 1,000 shall fall on my left, 10,000 on my right. because I have missed his voice. If I stand over where he tells me to leave, just one whisper, saying 1,000, I will begin to see it because the voice of God has guided me to the place. So we have to go from just insight into the scripture to hearing the voice of God that gives us clear instructions on what we are supposed to do. Then the next thing there was that after he heard the voice of God, and he said, an angel stood by me and came out, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. So the angel told him, said, look, you are going to be slain Caesar here. And lo, God had given them all them that sail with thee. He now came out and says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. He had the instruction. So the next thing, step number three, my time is going here, I'm bringing to a close, is after you have heard the voice of God, in the midst of the chaos, come out and announce what God has said for the purpose of changing the whole mood of everybody in the place. Paul came out and said, folks, be of good cheer. It shall be as the Lord has told me. So somebody says, well, I lost my job, when Christ says, spend time with God alone. Hears the voice of God concerning their future. Comes out. And then people come the next time to tell you, oh, so what are you going to do? This trouble is so much. Change the environment. Take leadership. Begin to speak as one that has heard from God. Tell the people, no more crying. No more shedding tears here. No more phone calls about what happened. Be of good cheer. It shall be unto me exactly as the Lord has told me. Change what is going on in the environment. You cannot have people in unbelief surrounding you and the power of God will flow into your life. People in your immediate environment, all right, must be tuned to the faith that you've heard from God. So come out. If people are calling you and say, well, you know, I heard somebody like say, stop. We are no longer talking about what happened. We are now on what God has said concerning this. Nobody here again must speak about what happened and got us in this situation. The only thing we are talking about is where God says we will be. Be of good cheer. Listen, if Jesus could get no results, when people that surrounded him were in unbelief, Jesus, you can't be more anointed than Jesus. If Jesus could do no mighty works because people in his immediate environment were in unbelief, if people that surround you are not in tune with what God is telling you, it will block the power of God from flowing. Remember Jairus' daughter? He was going there. This is Jesus. He knew how the anointed worked. He said, James, Peter, John, you are the only three following me. The rest of you can operate at this level. He got there. There were people crying. It's not everybody that is crying that loves you. They were there crying. Oh, you know, child dead. Jesus came and announced what he heard from the Father. He said, she's asleep. She's not dead. We are here to wake her up. These people that were crying 5 seconds ago started laughing. Which means the tears was not real. Are you following what I'm saying here? People can come and surround you and be mourning and doing all of that. You know, you must be watchful of what's in your environment. Let me tell you this. People find it easy to mourn with them that mourn. What they find it difficult to do is to rejoice with them that rejoice. One time, some years back, I lost my father. People were coming to the house. Sometime after that, and you must be watchful here. This is a spiritual thing. Sometime after that, something good happened in the family, and very few people came. I told my father, where are all the people? I said, you don't know life. People will cry with you, but your true friends are the ones that rejoice with you. Very important. Don't let people, you know, let me tell you this. We lost my father. We're going to do the funeral. We are going to open our church building. We had set the dates for the opening of the church building. I didn't know that my father was going to die before. So he went. So we buried him on Friday. One of my mother's friends came and said, oh, so will you be able to do that again? She called me behind. Don't listen to them. Said, this thing must end in joy. After we bury him on Friday, we open your church on Sunday. People can create an atmosphere around you. Look at the way David operated. The child was dead. He said, the child is dead. He moved on. People can mourn more than the bereaved. Cry more. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you misunderstand it and take it as godly love. My mother's best friend, one time she went for the funeral of her mother. I never forget this story. And you know, back then, people, you know, they were hire in their hometown, just hire people to cry. So that at least, because if people are not crying in the village, you look like you're not a good person. So you pay people so that people were really crying at the funeral. So what happened was, as the coffin came out, she was the first, but as she came out, those hired mourners just broke into tears. In fact, the way they were crying, she found it funny and started laughing. Some people can cry, all right? So change. Anybody who is not willing to change, to see the best out of that situation, doesn't really love you. Change it. All right? Come out and say, and take leadership. Because when things happen, the authority might be given to other people. They start leading you by the nose. Oh, you do this, you do that, you do this. Go to God, spend time alone with God. Pray there until you hear from God. Do you understand this? Take the scriptures and stay there until God speaks to you. And he will give you instructions. Once you have his instructions, you have fire. You move in that direction, things begin to happen. Come out of that place as a changed man. You went in, all right, but now you have seen the face of God. You are coming out now, you've seen him in prayer. He said, you've never heard my voice nor seen my shape. You've seen the face of God. Come out with that authority. And then change everything. And announce to the people that God has spoken. And then what happened was, the Bible says in verse 27, but on the 14th night was come, they were driven down, all right, up and down Adria, and about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and then they had gone a little further, they sounded again, which means they were checking the depth, all right, and fearing they would have fallen upon the rock, all right, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for them. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boats into the sea, under the color as though they would have cast anchors, all right, out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurions and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. In other words, Paul said, you better follow instructions now. You stay out of this ship, you will die. Now, why did they want to jump out? Because they went back again to what was probable, which means they started checking the depth. They found out that it's not too deep. Let's go now. These are chance. Paul said, listen, when you hear from God, follow the instructions. Don't let Satan tempt you again into the initial mistake you made at the beginning, which is you use probabilities to decide, not the voice of the Holy Ghost. Follow what the Holy Spirit has told you to the letter. People will come and suggest things. If it's not part of what you heard from heaven, stay with what you heard from heaven. Paul said, sirs, I'm telling you again, you'll have a problem. This time around, haven't seen what happened the last time. They quickly caught the boat, you can go. Paul, if we had listened to Paul at the beginning, won't be here. That's how you build your authority in the world system. How do you build it? By hearing from God. In other words, you're always ahead of the curve. In other words, you don't have to force, all right, yourself to be, to try to be a leader. Just listen to the Holy Ghost. All right? Listen to the Holy Ghost. If you listen to the Holy Ghost and get what the Holy Ghost is saying. I remember many years ago, my junior sister, she was ill, and she didn't, she the doctors, I mean, my father was a surgeon. He had his friends, all right? Most of them were retired, and they were experienced surgeons, and they came from everywhere, literally, and they looked at her, and they were afraid to operate because they felt that they didn't want her to die in their hands. And there was a young doctor there who was born again Christian. They taught him medicine. And he said, let me go and pray, sirs. I'll be back. He went to pray and came back and told all of them. He said, the Holy Ghost said it is clear. We can go in. They said, you caught. The experienced surgeons, one of them was head of department of surgery in King Fahd Hospital in Saudi Arabia, stood behind. He allowed this guy to court. The minute they opened her, the first statement that came out was, how come she's still alive? But this operation was successful. They had to depend on somebody that knew God. Are you following what I'm saying here? You depend on somebody. All right? There's a powerful story I heard about this. Power of fellowship. A young boy went to a small town in America. Well, this is power of fellowship here. Right? Now, we can't fellowship with God without the written word. Are you following what I'm saying here? Revelation of the written word of God brings about conviction into our hearts and opens the door of communication between us and God. That is why John said, these things that we have seen, heard, write we unto you so that you can come into fellowship. And our fellowship is really with the Father and the Son. So we are teaching so that you can enter fellowship. So the purpose of teaching is to bring men into fellowship. It is in fellowship that there's a transference. Right? It's when we interact with God in fellowship based on what we have seen that the life that is inside that word enters into us. This boy came and stood somewhere. The bus was going to another town and the bus only went once every day. So this elderly man stood here. And the bus stop, this young boy went to stay 20 meters away. The elderly man looked at him and said, young boy, come here. This is the bus stop. The young boy said, sir, no. This is where the bus is coming. The elderly man said, listen to me. I've been doing this for 30 years. Come here. The young boy said, sir, this is where the bus is coming. The elderly man looked at him, I've told you, come here. The young boy said, sir, the bus is coming here. The young man said, once you'll be here tomorrow. He said, don't worry, I'll go with the bus. The bus came up the horizon and was coming. The elderly man looked at him one more time, come here. The young boy said, no, I'm here. The bus came to the bus stop and gradually moved to where the young boy was. And the doors opened. And the young boy stood and said, sir, I forgot to tell you the bus driver is my father. And he told me exactly where he will park. What we are saying is that the creator of the heavens and the earth is your father. And it is when you are in fellowship, he tells you in the city of Lagos where to go and stand. That doesn't make sense to anybody, but he says that is the next place I'm going to. In other words, he tells you the land to go and buy that they are selling for 20,000 right now per acre. And he says, don't worry, in 15 years' time, when I told you in the word of God that you will leave an inheritance for your children's children, this is the instruction that will make that scripture happen. So announce it. Make sure the environment around you is right. Even that environment. Stay with the instructions. Then finally in verse 34, things had not yet changed, but they stood in the shore. He said, take meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when they had thought spoken, he took bread, which meant go back to normalcy. They hadn't eaten for 14 days in fear. Some people go through what is called post-traumatic stress for too long. All right? Hear the voice of God concerning it and return to normalcy as soon as possible and as quickly as possible. Something happens, say, well, you know, I'm no longer coming to church again. If you know how I lost my... No. Stop living in that. Come back to normalcy. Hear what God had to say. He tells you, This is what's going to happen here. Come back into the way you are doing things. All right? Maybe you used to go, and you and your friends will go out on a Sunday afternoon, and you all talk, and something happened, you lost your job, you withdrew from that. Go back and start doing that now. Get back into that normal routine of your life. You cannot behave like you things have not changed, and you're waiting for it to change, for your behavior to change. You change your behavior, and the manifestation follows it. Go back to normalcy. Go back to the things that you are doing. Go back to that healthy lifestyle. Go back to, you know, to doing certain things. Go back there. If go back to that, all right? And as quickly as possible. And so Paul said, look, even though things might still be dark, let's eat bread here. If there was no trouble, how will we behave? We'll be eating at this time. Sit down, let's eat. It's okay. God has spoken. He has told us what will happen. We are standing on his voice. This is exactly what will happen. Go back to normalcy. All right? Some of you have not returned to normalcy after you went through something. Go back to normalcy. Go back to your regular routine. Don't carry that thing. You know, there was a time I laughed once, this was many years ago, inside the office. One of my staff said, I've not heard you laugh like that in 6 months. Ah! I knew I'd allowed it to affect me for too long. All right? Take the matter to God. Pray. Stay there with God in prayer. Confess. All right? The word of God, the scriptures, so that you can come with a full assurance of faith. In other words, you are coming there to God. Your heart. You have built confidence there. Get there. Hear his voice. Right? Hear his voice. And when you hear what he has to say, then understand that once God has spoken and given instructions and told us what to be, the outcome is going to be. So, go back to normalcy, and the final thing he did was he began to give thanks. So when people come, turn it into congregational praise. If people came to mourn, if people came troubled, tell them you are not living here until we give thanks for what God has said. Are you following what I'm saying here? Public proclamation of God's faithfulness is powerful. Yes, there's private time of worship, but congregational worship carries some blessings. Coming into the congregation of God's people and rejoicing as though it is so carries something. That's why the Bible tells us of the resurrection of Jesus. He said, I will sing praises unto you in the midst of my brethren. He said, in the midst of the congregation, I will worship them. Congregational worship. In other words, getting a group together and singing praises and thanking God for his word is a very, very powerful step to take in our covenant relationship with God. So listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost on the inside. When he warns you about something, take time to pray about it, so the day doesn't come upon you unawares. All right? Once the thing happens, all right, if it happens, withdraw yourself. No guesswork here. Don't just try to take the suggestions of men. It will just lengthen your time in that crisis there. Withdraw yourself, all right, and practice what the old timers practice. In other words, stay with God in prayer until you hear the voice of God. I met somebody, and she was the granddaughter of one of the leading intercessors in Kenneth Higgins Ministries back then. All right, a woman that Higgins says she could pray heaven, all right, down to earth. And I met her granddaughter in last Southwest Believers Convention, and she gave me a book. I said, what did you learn from your grandmother that is different from what we are doing now? She said, we only spend 1 hour in prayer. They stayed there in prayer until something happened. That's the difference. Stay there in the place of prayer until God speaks to you. And when he speaks to you, you have that assurance on the inside. No effort is required on your part. No strain to try to exercise faith. Are you following what I'm saying? Many times we are trying to do it. Faith is a gift that is imparted by God's voice. It enters into you and it's there. And once you hear that, then begin to obey what he has said. I mean, I like what these were. These were people that work with God. when the angel appeared to Samson's parents, his father, Mona, after the angel told the mother, he's going to have a child, they're going to have a son and all of that, he told the wife, he said, did you ask for specific instructions on how to raise the child? She said, no. He went back to God in prayer, send that person back to us. We need to inquire on what to do when what he has said comes to pass. In other words, they believed in detailed instruction. That is, it is not the land you choose, it's the land I show you. God speaks to you, all right, and you go with what he says. So get the detailed instruction. It might take 3 weeks to get the whole thing there, but keep writing it. Stay in the place of prayer. You get a breakthrough. God gives you one line. Write it down. You go back again. He gives you a breakthrough. Write it down. Write it down. But have the instructions that this is the blueprint of God. That announced to people when they come to meet you, thinking, say, things have completely changed in this place. We have things that come in. And make sure your inner circle, their emotional state has changed from one of discouragement, depression, hopelessness, to one of joy. Once you get them to that point, then say, we obey the instructions of God to the letter. And then we behave completely as though this thing is so and return to normality. And have times where we thank God and praise him together for the fulfillment of the voice that we have heard. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice. Those that have heard promises and studied them in your word and have that deep conviction in their heart. But they've looked at these promises for years and have waited for the fulfillment of those things. But I've not realized that it is your voice giving specific instructions that will bring about the realization of those things. I ask this evening that you open up their inner ear. That within the next 3 days, they hear your voice clearly concerning those things that they have studied and they have believed in the word. And that they hear your voice saying, this is the way to go concerning these things. Walk ye in it. And Father, I ask that as they follow through on those instructions, that they will have signs, wonders, miracles, and great manifestations of the Holy Ghost within their lives, that they will know that something eternal happened this evening as the word of God entered into them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.